I usually don't come up with stuff till like the day of.
Me too, right?
So anyway, so I'm thinking, what are we going to talk about? What am I going to talk about? And so I was, as I'm pondering, I heard, I was reading on Facebook how X amount of people have died from the flu this year.
Oh, wow. Isn't that funny?
And
I was thinking,
and I was thinking that, you know, God has given us, he's given us everything and all authority so that that stuff doesn't affect us. And when you're talking about being saved, well, it's really simple. Jesus came to restore us back to our original design.
Right?
Adam was perfect in all his ways. And I believe Adam, because he was created, Father created it from himself. He was already walking in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
I believe that. And so Jesus came to restore us to that original design. And he had all authority and all dominion, everything. And so, but he lost it when he messed up. And so Jesus came to restore us back to that original thing so that we can bring heaven to earth. And so I was thinking about John G. Lake. Have anybody know who John G. Lake was?
Yeah, yeah.
He lived in the early 1900s. I think he passed away like in 1930-something or somewhere along there. But he had a revelation of, the verse that he used was in Romans 8, Romans 8, verse 2, says that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. And so he went to Africa as a missionary, and in, I forget what year it was in the early 1900s, but when he was there, they had a plague, and people were dying everywhere. And so he volunteered to go bury people, right? And I don't believe at that time he was actually had that awesome healing ministry that he had later on. But the one thing that he did have is that he believed that that verse, that this, that the law is for life in Christ Jesus, has set me free from the law of sin and death. And so when he went and he did, and some of the people that he was working with that were burying other people that were dying from the plague, they died too. But it never touched him. And so they asked him, how are you not getting this thing? Why is it the people that you're working with, they're dying, but nothing's ever happened to you? They're asking him these questions. He says, because of the lawless for life in Christ Jesus. That says it's saturated my body, and if it comes near me, it just dies. And so he said, I'll prove it to you. And so they had one of those Navy ships that had all the medical people on board. And so they took him on board, and they had, what do they call those little dishes where they grow the...
Like a petri dish.
A petri dish, and where they were growing the virus, you know, and checking it out. And so they took that virus, and he held his hand like that under a microscope, and they put the virus on his hand, and it died. And it died. Because he believed so much of what he had read, he meditated on that scripture for so long that he actually became what it talked about. Because he had the Spirit of God living in him, and he believed it so much, and he partnered with it so much, that it actually, it became real. So real that that deadly virus died in his hand. And so if that's possible for him, how much more is it for us today?
Yeah.
But the thing is first of all, we need to know who we are. We need to know exactly what happened when Jesus died at the cross. Everything, remember you said how much is the price? Jesus already paid it all.
Right.
Jesus paid it all. And so our part is to step into it. By faith, we step into the reality of his life in us.
Just take it.
Just take it.
Yeah.
By faith, It's so, because the spirit realm is so, because we can't see it, people don't believe. They don't believe because they can't see it, but it's real. And so even the Bible says to put on Christ.
Yeah.
Put on Christ. How do you put on Christ? By faith, you just step into it. You just see that in your imagination, you see Jesus standing in front of you, and you just step into him, and you become him.
I was thinking about that putting on Christ, and for me, it's like putting him on. It's like, I can believe this way, or I can believe like he believes.
Right.
Putting him on, it's like, stepping into agreeing that with how you believe. Like, when I put you on, I'm putting on your thinking. I'm putting on your belief system. Right?
That's
your
good.
Your understanding. And so...
Right.
That's
and,
practical.
And it goes even deeper than that. I mean, the Bible talks a lot about, especially in the Old Testament, it talks about meditating.
Mm-hmm.
To meditate on the Word. Meditate on the Word. And so that's a doorway of stepping into the spirit realm by meditating on Scripture, by meditating on the verses that talk about who you are in Him. And the more you think about it, the more you ponder it, it becomes real in your life. And I was just thinking, as a group here, how many of us have got that flu?
I haven't got it.
None of us have gotten it, I don't think.
What? The flu.
Mm-mm.
None of us have got it. So I was thinking about that verse, that the law of spirit life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. When we are meditating on, because we, every week we talk about who we are in Him. The more our heart becomes convinced that we are what He says that we are, it becomes a reality. In other words, when we speak the things that Jesus spoke, it happens.
Right.
That's why we've seen miracles, because we've been meditating on it. We've been declaring it. We've been decreeing it. And so it happens. It happens. I remember here just a few months ago, I woke up one morning and I had something on my foot. It was like a little, it felt like a little bump, but man, when I touch it, it hurt. I mean, it hurt a lot. It was like a really sharp pain. I'm thinking, what? I don't even know what it is. And so I decided one night that it was going to go away. So every night before I went to sleep, I would put my finger on it. I'd just go like this, put my finger on it. And I just commanded it to shrink. Commanded the pain to go. Did it go right away? No.
Right.
But I did it every night. And within 2 weeks, it was gone.
No pain.
No pain. Can't even find it anymore. So
just the thought, when I hear the word meditate, because I know some people, sometimes it has these little mystical thoughts to it, or, you know, kind of like the no thinking in your mind kind of thing. It's interesting, you know, when you said that right there, it's like in Jewish tradition, in the Old Testament, the word meditate is hagah, and it means to speak. That and they would, in fact, they had a tradition about in their worship that would repeat like statements or truths, and so meditation was just continuing to say these things that are true, these things that
over.
Are true, these things are true.
Over.
Right.
And when you look at the New Testament, which is really the same understanding or word for confession, which is words of agreement with heaven, right? Words of what heaven is saying. I confess. Right? I'm going to say what's true. And so meditation, to meditate, really is just agreeing with what heaven says about, like when you did the thing on your foot.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm just saying what heaven says, that this doesn't have that.
Any effect on
meditation is not always just this mystical, you know,
No,
it's using, it's considering, it's saying, this is what he's saying.
His word, right.
This is what's true. And you're really not giving any place for what's not true to
right.
be in your thinking. It's like, no, this is what's true.
That's what declaration looks like.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. And so I also wanted to stress that authority, it doesn't just come because we're believers. Authority comes because we have a personal relationship with God.
Right.
That means that we're taking the time to meditate.
Mm-hmm.
And they can just be thinking about Him. But we're doing it on a daily basis. We're doing it as often as we can. And when we do that, I mean, we're spirit beings, right?
Right.
We're spirit beings. And they just happen to live here on earth, right? We have this natural body, but our real person is a spirit being. And so when we spend time with God through using our imagination, meditating on and stuff, it's just like if you were hanging out with Donald Trump, right? You hung out with Donald Trump, and you became best buds. And so you became really good friends with Donald Trump. So, I mean, to the point that you became part of his family, well, heck, he's going to give you stuff, right? Because you're part of his family. Well,
right.
I mean, when we become that close with the Lord, with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, I mean, we already have it all. Like the song says, we have it all. But we need to engage him. We need to engage him on a daily basis.
Yeah,
so it's taking it out of a theory, just an idea, concept, and that it's like just this real life encounter, experience.
Right.
Daily.
Right. Daily. And we do that using our imaginations.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, by thinking about it, by place it, because the Bible is so filled with these pictures, verbal pictures or written pictures of these encounters that the old prophets had. That's for us, so we can step into that.
Right.
We can use our imaginations to step right into those things that they're talking about. Like it were Ezekiel is seeing the throne, and he's seeing the rainbow behind the throne, and the golden streets, and the cherubim, and just the bright light and all that stuff. When we meditate on that kind of stuff and place ourselves in that place using our imagination, it becomes real. The more you do it, it becomes real. And what happens, this is what happens. Because we're taught that we learn things from the outside in, that's not the reality of who we are. We're taught that. Because we were created even before the foundation of the world, is what the Bible says. So we've been in existence for a long, long time as a spirit being until the moment that God decided when we should be born and He picked our parents. But prior to that, we've been in existence from that time, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is after you come through the birth canal and all that, we start getting amnesia and forget about who we were as spirit beings. And so we have to retrain ourselves to learn how to see in the spirit realm. So that's why we meditate. That's why we use our imagination and place ourselves in the pictures that the Bible paints. And what it does, it begins to open that window. Our spiritual eyes begin to become open. And the more they become open, the more you start seeing things in the spirit realm. You start seeing angels. You start seeing cool stuff.
Right.
Really cool stuff, but it takes practice.
Mm-hmm.
It takes practice.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the other thing that that happens in the spirit realm, everything operates out of legalities. In other words, if you're doing things that are outside of the kingdom of God precepts, that means that you're in agreement with something else. And so whatever you're in agreement with, you empower. So if you're doing things that are unlawful, I guess you could say, in the kingdom of God, the other kingdom says, oh, this guy did this, this, and this. Oh, you know what? He just gave us permission to put a sickness in him, a disease on him, or to maybe strike his family with poverty, or whatever it might be. God isn't the one that does that kind of stuff. We do it by what we come in agreement with, by what we empower. But God has given us a way where we don't have to. Even when we mess up, we can straighten it out. Because the Bible says that Jesus is our advocate, always interceding for us.
Right.
And those are judicial terms. And I just found out recently there is a courtroom in heaven. So you go into the courtroom of heaven, you plead your case, you say, hey, look, this is what I did. Father, I just confess this to you. Cleanse me with the blood of Jesus. And then judge me according to the covering over me, which is his love. Bam. Whatever you did is that's canceled out now. And so it breaks off any legality that the enemy would want to use against you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
thanks.
Thank God for that, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I did all my notes on my phone. So the other verse that the Lord gave me is 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, or if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new.
What was the reference again? 2 Corinthians what?
5:17.
Yeah.
And that newness is really being restored to our original design. We're being restored back to original design. In other words, everything that Jesus was is who we are. And so the more we meditate on it, the more we become like him. The more we become like him, the more power and authority is given to us to do the same things that he did.
I like the verse that's before it too, where it says that we don't regard or don't hold people accountable to, right, to the flesh. In other words, we see them. We see how they're created. This is all their behavior, but we see what's inside.
Right.
And
right. And so, and these are the scriptures that people have a hard time sometimes with things that I talk about sitting on your mountain, which is a spiritual thing in the heavenly realm. But actually, the Bible talks about that. And so I'll read a couple of these scriptures. I think this is from Micah. It says, and it'll come about in the last days that the mountain of the house of the Lord, the mountain of the house of the Lord, will be established as the chief of the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and the peoples will stream to it. Many nations will come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us about his ways and that we may walk in his paths. For from Zion will go forth the law, even the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So right there, that's, again, it's talking about a spiritual place.
Mm-hmm.
That we can go into that mountain of the Lord to hang out with the Lord, to learn of his ways. So we need to go to him. Remember Jesus said, he didn't say, hey, I'm going to go hang out with you guys. He didn't say that. He said, come unto me. He said, come unto me. A lot of people are waiting for God to come to them.
Right.
We're supposed to go to him.
What's that scripture again?
Which one?
The mountain of the Lord.
The mountain of the Lord? That's Micah 4, 1 and 2. And then it pretty much goes into the New Testament. I think it's in Hebrews 12. It says, for you have not come to a mountain that can be touched, to a blazing fire, and to darkness and gloom in the world. But you have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood, which speaks better than the blood of Abel.
Right.
So here he's saying, yeah, in the spirit realm, you've come to a mountain that can't be touched by fire. It actually came to his mountain, Mount Zion.
Right.
And that's a heavenly place.
Yeah.
We can go there.
Right.
We can go there by just closing our eyes and stepping into it. And he says that there's what? Myriads of angels. Right? And the General Assembly, I don't know who the General Assembly is, but I guess if we go there after a while, we'll find out. And the Church of the Firstborn who are enrolled in heaven. So when we talk about the church, it's not just a church here on earth. There's a church in heaven. We're part of that church. Isn't that awesome? And so they have worship and everything that we do here. And so I just wrote down some of the things that I've been doing over the last few years to engage the presence, to engage Father, Jesus, is through using my imagination, which you talked about, meditation, and taking communion. Taking communion, that's a spiritual thing too, because what we're saying is we come in agreement with everything that he says about who we are in him. Right? Where we can actually be, our bodies can be transformed to that. I think it's in 2 Corinthians where it talks about how our bodies will be changed in the twinkling of an eye, so how our bodies will be glorified. Well, we don't have to wait till we die. We can do that right now.
Right.
By faith, by stepping into it, by taking communion and expecting it. That's another thing that I forgot to write down. Expectation. You have to walk in expectation. Expecting this stuff to happen. And so, and also making declarations and decrees. And all that stuff happens after you've been spending the time with him, building up your relationship with him. And the more relationship you build up with him, he expands your authority. And you might even hear it he might even tell you in a dream, or you might hear it from a prophetic word that you get. But he does. He expands your authority. So we do have, as a church here, we have authority over this whole valley. So when we come together and cancel out the virus stuff,
right,
it has to happen.
That's really, yeah.
Because we have the authority.
There you go.
And so praise and worship. And I can't emphasize speaking in tongues. The more, the better. The more, the better. It just does something that unlocks. It just unlocks that spirit realm. I believe that's where you get downloads, where you get words of knowledge, prophecy, all that stuff. Just because when we're speaking in tongues, it's a heavenly language. We're speaking to him. Not just one way, but two ways. Because he's also downloading stuff into us. So the more we do it, that's where we start getting, we get these awesome, profound, maybe one or two liners, you know. But it's so profound because it came from heaven.
Right.
And just by speaking in tongues. That's why it's important to keep a journal and write down the things that you experience when you're having those encounters. And then doing our due diligence in the natural. In other words, okay, like, for instance, I believe that the reason a lot of people are dying from the flu is because their immune systems are really low. Because most people that are eating food that they buy at the supermarket, the food in the supermarkets, most of the food there doesn't have nutrition.
No, they choose the ones that doesn't have any nutrition.
Right.
There's plenty that does have nutrition, but they
right.
choose the ones
But they choose
don't.
The ones that are processed.
Right.
And so what happens is, because our immune system, the bulk of our immune system is right here in our gut. And so if you're killing off all of your
good bacteria
by eating our poisoned wheat that they're selling at the stores, stuff like that, you know, a lot of the stuff has pesticides and stuff in it.
Oreos.
Then your immune system.
Oreos, there you go.
Yeah, your immune system is going to be weak.
Those
so if you're doing your due diligence and eating healthy foods and doing the things that you need to do to build up your immune system, well, Papa's going to partner with us in that. See what I'm saying? And, the last one. Learning how to go into the courtroom. In heaven. Because once you go in there and you deal with it, it's a done deal. It really is. So I don't believe in warfare. Mm-hmm. Us.
Striving.
We're not war. We're not. We weren't made to be warriors. We were created to be administrators. We administrate His law by going into the courtroom. The warriors are the angels. They're the guys with the swords. So those are the ones that are to do the warring. We just tell them where to go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
so
that's good.
How about you? Let me hear some of your stuff. How you engage Papa. Shelly, how do you engage him?
Well, actually, mine is just a living every day to day, knowing that I belong to him, and that we partner in everything that I do. Like, it's not anything that I do. I feed people. He partners with me in that. We do everything together. My every day-to-day breath is us doing.
And that's just from a conscious believing that.
Yeah, that anything that I do is.
You're working together with him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Willie?
Well, I try when I get uptight and start getting rattled, and I know it's the now, and God right here with me.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is here with me, and I slow down and take breaths, a little meditation maybe, or whatever works. It just grabs me and says,
calm you down.
On.
Yeah. I like that.
I'm like,
that's good.
That's just the issue of practicing, and this is what's true in the now, right?
Right.
This is what's true.
Practicing what's true.
Practicing what's
right
true,
now.
And you have to rehearse
right.
it. You really
right.
do about the declarations and the things you're agreeing with. Yeah, like that. You're creating habits.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we really operate out of muscle memory, right?
Right.
Most of our reactions to anything, to being annoyed or getting angry, is a reaction to something, and so you can actually learn a habit that changes that.
Right.
Right? And but that takes practice, and you have to, and meditation's part of the practice of
mm-hmm.
not responding out of that other.
That's good.
So.
Anybody else?
And worship, like you said. You already said worship.
Oh, yeah.
Man.
That's what Lisa
yeah,
does,
worship.
Probably. Worship,
yeah.
huh?
No, actually, mine's more like mom's. I actually don't really worship a lot at home. That sounds bad. Like, not in the sense of, like, I sit at my piano and just play a lot. Like, I don't really do that. But I think mine's a lot like mom's, where I just find God in the process of my
right.
life. Like, in day-to-day stuff or what's going on right now. And just being diligent, like Willie said, to like be present, like, God, what are you saying right now?
Mm-hmm.
Meditating on what you're speaking over this situation, rather than going to my default, which is freak out.
Right.
So I think it's like finding God in the process and like letting him reshape what I think, and not just going back to what I've heard in church, like,
ooh,
or what
good.
I've heard other people say about
right.
who God is, or about what, you know, I should think about the situation. Like, I should be like, oh, well, God will take care of all of my needs according to his riches and glory. But sometimes it's something else. Sometimes that's not the truth for this situation. So it's like, instead of going to a default, something that I've heard in church, it's asking, okay, what is the truth that you're speaking over right now? Like, what is this now word? Because sometimes it's not what you think it is. Sometimes
right,
it might
right.
be something else.
And I think everything she just said there is worship, right?
That is what worship,
worship is.
Yeah.
I think we default to think it's playing a piano or singing, but worship is really exercising what she just
really isn't
said.
It all we're talking about right now, whether
mm-hmm.
it's meditation or
mm-hmm.
imagination or whatever, because it's all inclusive because we're thinking about him.
I mean,
right.
worship
we're thinking
is,
about his kingdom.
You're aligning yourself with, I would say, the activity of heaven. I mean, this
right,
is
right, right.
So singing and things like that does take us to that place, or helps you connect with that place. But really, whatever that is that puts you in heaven's groove, so to speak,
right.
is worship.
Roar, excuse me, Roar
yeah.
even mentions singing and dancing.
Oh, well, absolutely.
I agree with that.
That was...
I was Baptist, right? You were... That sent you to hell.
Well, also, too, how about things, simple things like laughter?
Yes.
Really? I mean, that's pretty good medicine right there.
Joy.
Yep. Yep, joy, absolutely. So I think mine's not as mystical as it is practical.
Mm-hmm. Oreos
very
practical.
Oreos
make me happy.
So Oreos make... There you go, Oreos.
I'm a little depressed right now. It is that I can't...
And, you know,
but it's not very nutritious, Danny.
Right. Actually... Yeah. And
nobody
of that,
look in my pantry right now, okay?
We can actually use the authority that God has given us, you know, depending on where you're at is with Him. I mean, you could command whatever you're going to eat for it to be restored back to its original design and cancel out all the negative stuff on there and then eat it.
We can eat Oreos, guys.
I think if we did that, the Oreos would go poof and cancel out.
She thinks the Oreos might disappear if you pray over it.
That's what I was going to say, Darla. Like, I don't think there was an original intent.
No.
I don't think that was a part of the
plan.
No, I believe there was. I believe that at some point there was actually...
The
flour that they actually used way back when was nutritious and this, that, and the other. You know, but today it's all chemicals. But hey, why couldn't he restore it to something natural? He can. He can do anything.
Or just eat natural food.
Or just have Shelly make you the dessert.
There you go. That's all
okay. Well, anyway.
Thanks, God.
So,
that was good, Adolf.
Adam?
Huh?
How do you get...
He says what Lacey says.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah.
For real.
Yes, sir.
You kind of partner in all that stuff?
Yeah. Oh, solid. I'd like to say one thing. This group, the few times that I've been with you, is very charismatic. And it reminds me... of the 1970s and 1980s when the charismatic movement was great. And Wilma and I used to go to the annual charismatic convention in Anaheim.
Is that right?
The Catholic Church held.
How awesome.
And it was very fantastic. And you, this group was, to me, I was reliving the charismatic conventions in Anaheim. And I think you, the music, everything. You know,
tongues.
Huh?
I remember praying in tongues.
And praying in tongues, especially, Adolf.
Yeah.
They prayed in tongues, and amazing things happened.
Wow.
And
wow.
I remember that when I missed an opportunity, I have had both knees replaced. And in 1985, I had to have an operation to have my right knee replaced. But before... I did that a couple of years before. I'd gone to one of these charismatic conventions, and they were calling out, you know, there's a man up in that area there that has a problem in his knee, and will he come forward? And I didn't have the guts to get up and go forward.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I regret that to my dying day.
I
would have been healed.
Oh, I know you would have been healed.
I know I would have been.
Yeah.
I believe
sure.
it.
That's
well,
amazing.
I just
want
to
wow.
say this is a very charismatic group, and also, Danny, you and Adolf both are a lot like Richard Rohr, the Franciscan.
We like him.
We like Richard Rohr.
Yeah, we do.
And Rohr, you know, puts it down into one word, love.
I agree.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. you know, it's awful hard to do, because I'm not anti-Democrats. I mean, I'm sure there are some good Democrats.
I know, right?
But it's very difficult for me to see the way that they refuse to accept the results of the election 1 year ago. And, of course, the man that won it, if he'd keep his mouth shut, wouldn't be. But anyway, that's all. And I really enjoyed this service this morning. I mean, the music was great, and the comments you had to make, and you, and everybody.
That's awesome. Thank you, Jerry.
And yours.
Yes. Thanks for yours. Yeah.
That's an awesome impartation.
I feel like we're on a... because
we're on the same wavelength.
Yeah. Oh, we absolutely are.
And the things
I agree.
Those are the things we... Yeah, we agree with that.
I love it.
I'll just say it that way. We're all on this journey where you're wondering there has to be more. And
bottom line, we just believe that whatever Jesus did, we can do. And he said we'd even do greater things. So that's what we believe.
And, you know, we need to all remember that the only time there is this instant.
True.
This instant is the only time there is.
It matters, right?
When you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. That's awesome.
To pray for us.
Yeah.
And that's what you
pray for. My daughter came in from Texas. She was down in helping out.
Oh, right.
Sure.
And Linda Marie is... very intense and takes everything so seriously in life. Gosh, I just read something. Don't roar.
Right.
Don't take life so seriously. And she was dealing with trying to make, she's into flowers and violin, not violin. Orchids.
Oh, orchids.
And she started too late last night. And she went into a tizzy. And she nicked it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you can't control everything.
Yeah.
And I let her poor thing, let her get upset.
We'll just pray for her as soon as we're done here. We'll pray for her.
Yeah.
That's good.
So, Father, we just thank you for this morning,
Jesus.
Father, for your word,
words
of encouragement. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the empowerment that you've given us, Lord, as we come in agreement with you, with the words, with things, everything that you've spoken to us and over us, Lord. And so, Father, right now, Lord, we just ask as each one of us goes, Father, into our everyday thing, God, that we would continue to keep our minds and our hearts focused on you and your presence, Father, so that we might do the same things that Jesus did to bring heaven to earth, Father, on an everyday basis. Amen.
Amen.